And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. This is a special-ish episode. Before we get back into talking about the Capitals, I will be having Ted Starkey on discussing that because we are coming out of the Olympic break, four games before the NHL trade deadline. So there's a lot for Ted and I to talk. That episode will be coming out later this week. But first, I am being joined by Lee Newman, who wrote a really great article that came out on Twitter about being priced out and pushed back from Capital One Arena. Lee, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and so real quick, before we hop into everything, the More Phenomenal Hockey Show is also brought to you by Oats Overnight. When we're on the go but still need breakfast, Oats Overnight is the healthy on-the-go breakfast choice for the show and TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link in the description on both TXHTHockey.com and in the YouTube show description to get a $20 discount on Oats Overnight today. Everyone likes getting discounts, but that's not something we're getting at Capital One Arena very well. So I alluded to your article, Priced Out, Pushed Back, which is on Twitter, which, because Twitter does not like to link up properly on my web on through WordPress, if it's cool by you, Lee, I'm getting this on record here. May I post the entire article on the website with this episode?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So everyone, you can read his article as best as I can get it over from Twitter to the website, but it's definitely a must read. Lee, why don't you talk about what inspired you to write this article? Because this is something that resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So to give you the brief background, so I big Caps fan, huge Wizards fan, and I cover the Wizards for Sleeper, the fantasy app, on Twitter at Sleeper Wizards, and then I am a former Wizards season ticket holder. I had season tickets for I think the 2 years pre-COVID. And then obviously, you know, COVID shut that down. And then when I came back when sports came back from COVID, my season tickets, which were section 105 row K, had been moved up in favor of this like little area. This wasn't the Hennessy Lofts. This is the other side. And this is this little area of the Wizards court where they just have like dining tables and people just room for people to
Oh,
walk around.
I know what you're talking about. It's like one of those like little, it's kind of like the Hennessy, but slightly different.
Yeah, there's no like couches or anything like that, but it's just like area for people to eat, I guess. It's just a way, like there were seats and then they moved them back. And, you know, that's the first frustration. And then over the years, as it, you know, kind of talks about in the article, it's like, then they built the lofts, then the vault comes in, they do the United Globe stuff. And then, I mean, the triggering point for the article and like the, you know, straw that broke the camel's back here is the video that came out about the halo was just like the most out of touch thing I've ever seen in my life. And obviously the response to it from hundreds and thousands of fans were, you know, 98% terrible. And I just was ranting about it to some friends and I was like, I need to put the pen to paper on this. So yeah, jotted down the thoughts throughout the weekend and I appreciate everyone who's read it and shared it.
Yeah, and it came at a great time too, because on Tuesday the 17th, us Washington Capitals season ticket holders, which I'm in my second year as a season ticket holder for the Caps, we got our renewal emails. And I want to read this email real quick. Thank you for your unwavering support for the 2025-26 season. As a Club Red 365 member, you are the heart of our organization. Get to that line right there. We are very excited about the momentum building both on and off the ice at Capital One Arena and happy to share with you your Club Red 365 renewal information for next season. I'm just going to cut to one part of this. My tickets were $66. I sit in section 420 row F. It only went up $2 per game next season. So I'm not upset about that because $2 is not bad. And we're losing a preseason game and gaining a regular season game because the NHL is going to an 84 game schedule next season. So we have 42 home games instead of 41. And then if preseason game goes to Hershey, we only have to pay for one preseason game. So that ain't bad. And that's always 50% discounted because it's preseason and no one cares about it. This summer, we will release details on the transformation of our 100 and 400 level concourses, the most expansive and ambitious enhancement of the entire project. This phase of the transformation will reimagine the fan experience for all guests attending an event at the arena, including new and unique food and beverage options, expanded retail concepts, and a completely transformed, more streamlined fan journey for every guest. Coming in the 2027-28 season, this fully comprehensible upgrade will enhance the experience of every fan entering the arena for generations to come. That's a key word right there, generations. I want to keep that word out there for everybody. Meanwhile, 1 year into the complete transformation of Capital One Arena, the vision for a brand new world-class venue for our players, fans, and performers alike continues to come to life. Most recently, reintroduced the Halo, which, as you alluded to, brought a lot of hate online. A new first-of-its-kind hospitality experience launching fall 2027 in advance of the 27-28 season. Can you imagine how much of a pain that's going to be for the 26-27 season?
Yeah.
The Halo will span two levels of the arena, featuring eight distinct and expansive food and beverage concepts, seamless access from the street to seat, and a level of optionality and diversity that's never been offered at any venue before. I want to note that the last part is about, renewing the tickets. They literally spent the first half of this email focusing on the renovations of the arena. A small blurb about how we're the heart of the organization, but this, and as we see with the videos and stuff like that, the number one question I actually asked, because I found out your article through my group chat with season ticket holders and other Caps fans. The number one question is that how does this truly enhance our experience when, I want to paraphrase an Adam Cole promo. You can have all these bells and whistles. All I need is a hot dog, a soda, and drop the damn puck. That's
And
it.
that's how, what, 98, 99% of fans feel.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting. And then Ted Leonsis did a tweet. He did two tweets since the Halo dropped. His first one was on February 20th. It was a pleasure to spend time last night ahead of the Wizards win with the CEOs, founders, and self-made entrepreneurs who make up the 30th Mindshare cohort. We talked about the role entrepreneurs play in not just in innovation, but in strengthening communities by setting new standards and creating opportunity for others. Do these opportunities help the fans, in your opinion, Lee, with what they're doing in the Capital One Arena?
No, I mean, absolutely not. I mean, I appreciate that you guys were sending the article in your chat. And for those that haven't read it, basically, it's just a thought piece that a lot of us are thinking that hundreds of people have responded to, which is like, this is a sports arena. Like, we don't need all these things because we don't have access to it. The people that go to the games and want to watch the action on the floor and everything are not the people who are going to be like, oh yeah, I need another. I think in the Halo video, they said it was like eight new restaurants within just that area. And they had an exact quote that was like, we want to make sure, like, we want people to be able to have an experience where they're up and out of their seat. And it's
That's the opposite of
baffling
what
to me.
why we're going to these games.
It's not a concept that I've ever seen across any sports ownership. I mean, I've been to so many stadiums, not just basketball or hockey wise, but like MLB stadiums, all this stuff. Like, the goal is to give fans great experience. And this is the only arena, this is the only ownership group that seems to think, let's keep going towards as rich of a clientele as we can possibly go to, and just make sure everything is about like being fancier and being state of the art. It's very wild to me.
Well, I mean, Let's be honest. Capital One Arena is going the route of Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, TD Garden in Boston, and Madison Square Garden, obviously in New York City, where I hear a lot of times that I've been to Madison Square Garden and Scotiabank Arena. I haven't been to TD Garden yet, but the arenas, the lower levels, are just a lot of suits and they're quiet. And I hear people complain all the time about, like, my friends up in Toronto, my friends in New York, and they're always complaining about how, they need to get the suits out of there and get real fans down there to make that arena loud. And that's and that I've been saying that, privately. This is the first time I'm saying it publicly on my podcast or anybody's podcast, that this is the route they're going. They're going the route of MSG, Scotiabank, and TD, which is not, but to Scotiabank and Madison Square Garden's credit, when I went to those arenas, I was able to get more food for more bang of my buck than I can at Capital One Arena right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you go down that path of it, when we talk about like food prices and the other arenas compared to Capital One, it's another spot where like at least if you are gonna have all these fancy areas, you could make cheaper options for all the other fans. And
Have fun the reverse.
we're actually seeing a growing trend in that across sports amongst the other teams. So we've seen the Phoenix Suns installed this year with $2 menus. We saw both the Utah Jazz and Mammoth install family-friendly meals. The Nuggets and the Avalanche have it. The Hornets have it now. The Atlanta Hawks, Arthur Blank, the owner of, or the Hawks, and then the Falcons, Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, he set up like a whole, he was one of the first to like be like, everything's $2, sodas, hot dogs, all the cheap stuff, not everything,
Oh,
obviously.
yeah.
And so we're seeing this, and everybody has been like hailing what good decisions these are. And people are packing those arenas and they're taking the family out to ball games and everything. And actually, it's funny that we're doing this today because this morning, Mark Cuban wrote like a whole piece. I don't know if you guys saw this. He like sent something out on Twitter that was like, this is why the Mavs had $2 tickets. This is why the old commissioner David Stern of the NBA had $10 tickets like installed after the lockout in the 90s. Why every Mavericks game had you could get four tickets under $19. He spent like years creating like this Mavs family plan so that families can afford to come to a game. Just all this stuff that, yeah, I don't understand why that's not an option for Capital One Arena.
Well, it's interesting. You've said families a lot, and I'm glad you have, because it goes back to that one thing I said that was in the email, generations. And one thing that people, I think, tend to forget about sports is that sports are generational. I'm a wrestling fan. Obviously, WWE is my main go-to. I watch TNA and New Japan and others. But with WWE owned by TKO now, one of the biggest problems that a lot of people are seeing is just the regular fans like us are being priced out of shows. Like the fact that John Cena's final match at Capital One Arena, a nosebleed seat, like literally probably on the ceiling, was like $400. ADA, because I always go with my friend who's in a wheelchair, ADA seats were almost $500. And it's like, because in TKO's mind, they don't want us. They want the money. And that was the one thing where, unfortunately, we have to give Vince McMahon credit on this. His target was families, because he knows that professional wrestling is generational. The same can be said about hockey, baseball, basketball, football, soccer. They're all generational, because if you can't get kids there to enjoy the game live and fall in love with the game, these sports aren't going to exist much longer. These leagues aren't going to exist much longer. And that's why it's important, like what you said, Atlanta Falcons, Hawks, the Colorado teams, the Utah teams, they're creating these menus to make it where it is affordable for families to come, because they realize that is their future. Because when those kids grow up, they're still coming to games, and then eventually they're going to have kids and bring them to games. So And we're literally seeing families being pushed out of Caps games because of it, and Wizards games because of it, these changes. And it's very infuriating, for that, to see this happening with us.
Yeah, it's incredibly. I think the other part of it, because like, look, I can understand like we as your average fan can, complain about that and want cheaper prices and everything. And I can look at it from someone who has, market. I have two business degrees from Maryland, and I understand the business side of all of this, and I understand that premium is what pays the bills necessarily, but what I really like wanted to focus on also with the article was like not just the priced out part of everything, but the pushed back. And the reason why I like focused on that so much is because when you talk about creating an incredible experience for these families that they're going to remember forever and they're going to dig into with these sports and these teams, a big part of that is being able to experience it not from necessarily like the top row of Capital One Arena. Because it's not like, right now, I can at least say with the Wizards, they have select games where they have like 2 for 25, which is actually 2 for 30. But, they have $15 tickets. It's not terrible, but you get them and you're at the top of the arena, and it's not the same experience that you get when you see these viral videos of like a kid getting a handshake from a player on their way out, or a incredible play that a kid is a few rows up from the court. And most families and most people can only afford to do that maybe like one time a season. But they've made it to this point where by removing seats down low for all these premium options, the ones that are available have become so expensive that you actually can't, like, people can't afford to do it for any games. And then the games that they do make it to are just these, like, the only ones they can afford are the, maybe they're playing the worst team and it's on a Tuesday night and they're sitting at the top of the arena. So it's like, every time, I'm watching the Wizards are playing right now. I'm watching, there's over half of these Hennessy lofts behind the basket are empty, and those are seats that could have been filled by your average fan.
And it's interesting because I remember somebody posted a picture earlier this season for a Caps game, and it was behind the penalty boxes where the I guess it's the Lexus suites are. And it's just it like 6, 7 rows of seats just empty behind the penalty box. And somebody posted in one of the Caps Facebook groups and says, "When do we just declare this a failure?" And my comment on it was, the moment kids were not able to be at by the penalty box for pregame
Exactly.
warmups, because now they're in a more tighter space. You have more kids fighting on top of each other, because you took away this real estate that could have spread them out a bit. And I've heard it directly from people. I'm not going to say who for to protect them, but the players hate it.
Hate it.
They hate it because, like, they would rather see the kids by the penalty boxes during pregame warmups, to be able to flip the pucks to more kids and have them more spread out because they like seeing it. And then just seeing emptiness by the penalty boxes, it bothers them. And, granted, yeah, the players don't have really a say in a lot of things, but they see it. I mean, we got, oh, I'm pointing at the wrong, we got, I can't point at the right thing on YouTube. We got these stupid things on our jerseys now.
Yeah, we
You
have
know,
Robin Hood on the Wizards.
we used to have the Caesars on it. Oof, and I hate gambling. So imagine how I felt about that one for the last 3 years before co-paying became one. But it's just, it's and like where I sit, I'm 420 row F. I like my seat. I have a perfect view of the ice. I can see everything. I play hockey, so I want to be up top. Because I want to see everything. I don't want to be down low. Although I also understand with basketball, it's very different compared to hockey in that perspective. But yeah, it's just, seeing those empties, that's the only empty seats we really see. But the thing that I learned is that all of those seats that are behind the penalty box or center court, in that case, for you guys, for the Wizards, all of them are actually sold. They're all sold. They're sold to corporations. And the thing is, they're not allowed to be put on resale. They're actually blocked from being put on resale. And the only way to get them is if you know somebody who's willing to transfer the ticket over to you for free. I mean, obviously, they'd have to do it for free because they can't sell the ticket. So that's the only way you'd be able to get it. Well, it's again, if the Capitals make the playoffs, because we're out of the playoff picture right now because of the parity in the league right now, and all the other teams that we're chasing have games in hand on us. Yeah, our standings work a lot different than the NBA for those who are
No,
going.
I follow the NBA.
No, I'm not saying it for you. I'm saying it for anyone who doesn't really follow hockey that's watching this because you're on the show. Our standings are completely different. It's, you know, but the thing is like, say the Caps do make the playoffs. They do go on that run and make the playoffs. What's it going to look like in the first round? You know, with those seats, are they going to remain empty? Or are the people going to show? I mean, the people apparently are showing up, but they're just not there in the seats. They're in that catering area.
They're
So
in an area. This is what I, talked about a bit, and it's at least I would be willing to like take an educated guess on this, is that it will stay looking like that even in playoffs. And the reason why is because the playoffs are going to be a good attraction to take a client or something to and say, oh, we've got this suite, but they've made it so swanky in the back area there that they did exactly what they said they would in the video. They want you out of your seat. They want you at the bars and the lounges,
spending
eating and drinking,
money,
spending
yeah.
more money. So from a business side, they make more money. But the atmosphere of the game, and I touched on this in the article, it suffers so much not having, like you talked about, not having kids and not having diehard fans being the ones who are able to be there, especially in those big games. It makes a huge difference, like a massive difference. And when you talk about the players not liking it, which I actually know as well, I've had a conversation with a player and I've had conversations with multiple people who work for the team. Who I also like obviously won't name,
We
and they've said
protect our people. We protect we protect our people.
they've said players have talked about it a ton, and they're like, it sucks because I don't have like an autograph to sign. I don't have someone like cheering for me going crazy, like doing any of the stuff that we see in these other arenas. And in the article, and you touched on this before we started tonight, I referenced a player that used to play for the Wizards who went to the Pelicans, Jordan Poole. And he wasn't the best player. He's kind of sporadic. But when they interviewed him about like what his experience was like, he doesn't even talk about, oh, the my teammates were this, that, or he does. The first thing he says is, it was dead in Capital One Arena. And he's got this, and it went viral amongst Wizards fans, and it was like, it was dead in there, it was dead in there. Like, it's like they hate it. And I talked about this in the article. The worst part of this is that it does have an effect on the team. Like, players don't want to commit somewhere long term where they're not going to get that incredible, like, you see players committing, signing team deals at other places because the fans go crazy for them
Yeah.
and they like feel
You
so loved and everything.
mentioned the Los Angeles Clippers and what they're doing in their arena.
And the craziest part about that, and I talked about this as well, is that there's an element of translatable success to having a huge fan atmosphere. So in the Clippers arena, they built this wall where all the way up to the court, fans can sit in that section, and it's behind the basket. Fans can sit there. They go crazy every time the opposing team has the ball. You're not even allowed to wear gear of opposing teams. And it's not just the Clippers, by the way. We see this across all four major sports when it gets to the playoffs, where there have been other teams like Seattle this year, during their playoff run. They didn't sell tickets outside of a certain region because they didn't want fans from other areas coming.
That's a normal thing for the ticket thing because, like, when the Carolina Hurricanes are in the playoffs, they limit their thing. The Capitals, I think, when they played the Flyers one year, the Rangers, they limited where, you know, who could buy tickets, you know, for the cap. So, like, Tampa Bay Lightning, the Florida Panthers do it too. So, a lot of teams actually do that one. But one of the night and like what the Clippers do, that's actually something that's very common in soccer. You know, where
Yeah,
you have the clubs, where you have the club section, and it's just the diehard fans sitting in that section, just going bonkers like the entirety of the game.
Yeah, it's done there, and it's done a lot, obviously, in college sports. And when we talk about what we were just saying with the restricting who can buy certain tickets to these big games and everything, it just proves the point of, well, the arena atmosphere and the crowd makes a difference in the actual game. And there's literally statistics that, I talked about in there, like the Clippers have the second lowest opponent free throw percentage because people can't make free throws against them. And then 2 nights ago, the Nuggets were 1 point away from tying the game, and the guy missed Jamal Murray misses a free throw to tie the game to send it to overtime because he's staring at the wall and they're all going nuts. Like, you can see the effect in both being able to want players to stay here long term, and you can see the effect in actual statistics. And it's just baffling to me that any owner would look at that and say, like, I'd rather have the law firm of blah 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 hosting their clients at this playoff game in the back lounge. If we have a playoff game, whether it's Capitals, Wizards, whatever it is, if we have a big playoff game and all of that area looks empty, it's really sad.
Yeah, and not only that, but like, and another point on this is like, my dad's a Philadelphia Flyers fan. My dad's from Philly,
Oh, wow.
and it's how I am able to deal with other teams' fans very easily.
That's fair.
but one of the interesting things, you know, because obviously my dad and I conversating is that like, you know, after Ed Snyder, the original owner of the Flyers, passed away, and then Comcast fully took over with Dave Scott. The mentality changed from going, oh, we need to rebuild, to we need to be in the playoffs every year. Forget the rebuild, just get into the playoffs, get in the playoffs, because the NHL is a gate-driven league. It's always been like that. And one of the interesting things is that the way it works with the gate is that, okay, all the revenue sharing goes into the regular season, but if your team makes the playoffs, that is extra revenue that your team can pocket. So in essence, you want your team to be successful because if you make the playoffs, that's extra revenue coming in specifically to your team. And the deeper you go, the more money you make. So it's like, you know, so it goes back to that. It's like, why would you want this empty arena that's going to affect your team negatively? And actually going back to the Jordan Poole comment about how it's dead in the arena, you know, I can counter that on a Capitals side because it is a lot more noisier at Caps games than it is Wizards games. I think a big part of it's just the product on the court for the Wizards compared to the
Right, of
product on the
course.
ice for the Capitals, because that will always have a factor in how the atmosphere of the arena is. Plus, when you have Alex Ovechkin breaking Wayne Gretzky's record last season, scoring 900 goals this season, or breaking 900 goals this season, you know, I'll tell you right now, the arena was louder than when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. It was deafening. When he tied Gretzky's record, because that was done at home, and then obviously he broke it on the road, and when he scored 900, I think 900 was louder than 894. So, but at the same time, as I mentioned, Ovechkin, he's almost at the end of his career. We don't know if he's coming back next season, or if he is. But one thing, and me and a lot of other, you know, long time hockey slash Caps fans have been saying it. When Ovechkin is gone, Capital One Arena is going to be almost like a ghost town, because that's what a lot of people came to see, was Alex Ovechkin. And once his number's in the ra once that number is in the rafters, you know, a lot of people are going to disappear from Capital One Arena. And so doing these things like the Vault Suites and the Halo, you're going to be pushing away potential hockey fans who wanted to come, couldn't come because of how high prices were for Ovechkin, seeing him play, and, you know, not being able to bring in that next generation into the arena, essentially. So it's very disheartening. And then it should also be noted, another tweet that Ted Leonsis did on the 20th: big things are happening at Capital One Arena. Improved entrances and exits mean faster access to the action inside wider, brighter concourses and new gathering spaces create a more comfortable, connected experience. Less waiting, more game time, a world-class new centerpiece for downtown. You saw that tweet, right? Where they're taking down the Capital One sign. First comment by Mike Lewis, one Dove 15, Dove 41. I don't know what all that the Doves stand for. Bad look raising ticket prices during a rebuild. No renovation spin will help improve the messaging to fans. Wizards front office has greatly improved in terms of player acquisition, building draft assets, but until player development delivers a winner on the court, your business approach should be much more fan favorable. Recent ticket increase was a terrible miscalculation. And then I have to put up the Scotty O responsive ownership is greedy AF.
It's really crazy because I think it was one of the last lines in my article where I said like you can renovate and upgrade every inch of this space, but like if the people who actually love this team, these teams, aren't able to be a part of everything that you're upgrading and renovating, like you're not actually improving anything. So we talked about it at the beginning of this, right? I love these teams. Like, I've been to so many Wizards and Caps games my entire life, and I have never set foot in any of these suites. I don't know why I would, frankly, because I love going to these games and I have no interest in having a five-course meal in the middle of the game. Like, I'm not one, I just frankly can't afford that. And two, I just don't really have a ton of interest in it. But it's just none of this applies to us. None of this applies to the majority of fans, where it's like the email that you got to renew season tickets, where you talked about the whole email is
Like the
renovations,
first half
renovations.
is about renovations.
Oh, check out the Halo and everything. It's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to step foot in the Halo.
So I actually have a funny story for you. So last season when I renewed my tickets for this season, if you do it at the arena, you get to spin this little wheel thing and you get a prize for doing it at the arena. And of course, mine set the auto renew, so mine will automatically renew on March 17th, regardless if I do it early or not. But one of the things I won, or the thing I won, was an all-inclusive package for one game. Okay, I sit in 420, and all-inclusive is down in 100. I'm not going down to 100 to go get stuff to stand in line with a bunch of people. Just give me my hot dog, give me a soda, and let me watch the hockey game. And so I went to my rep. We had a coffee talk with Spencer Carberry, the head coach of the Caps, right before the season started. And I went to my rep and I said, "Hey, I know you're about to email me soon about the all-inclusive package. I thought about it. I'm not going to use it. Can I trade it for something else?" Which they gave me $50 in monumental cash. So I went from $100 in monumental cash for the season to 150. I put it towards this. I put it towards the new alternate jersey. So I only paid, like, after my season ticket discount, I paid like $26 or $36 for the jersey. So cool. That works for me because I'm unemployed still. And it's kind of like the same deal when we renew this season. It's going to be the same stuff, and I'm just going to be like, I don't care about that. And actually, I have sat in a suite, not these luxury, like, new stuff, but I've sat in like the boxes, like on the 200, 300 level. I've sat in those. Wrestling shows like WWE, I've actually paid for them because we found them on like StubHub or resale, whatever. So we found those. So we were like, oh, well, $100, sure, why not? We'll grab that. And we enjoyed sitting in it because what we did was we literally went in there, grabbed the food, sat down in the seats, and watched the wrestling show. Same thing for the Caps. I don't think I've never paid for a Caps suite. I got all three or four times I've done it for free. Like, a couple were for work, or I think my sister got one for work, and so like I'd done them all like for free in the suites. And again, I just grabbed my food, I grabbed the hot dog, grabbed my soda, I sit down in a front row seat in the box, and I just watch the game. And I'm just there watching. And everyone comes to me and is like, "Are you gonna come back here and talk?" I was like, "No, the game's on. I'll come back during the intermission or something, but the game's on right now." That's just, that's how it was for me. I didn't care about all the bells and whistles that were in the suite. I mean, well, I like the fact that there's a bathroom right there that I didn't have to wait in a long line for, but outside that, I didn't care about all the other stuff. So.
I think it's funny that you noted that the times that you've been in there are because you got it through work or your sister's work, and
Or
you
just a
talked
friend who
about,
knew, or a friend who knew somebody, yeah.
right. You talked about like the email and all the, and you know, I've talked about in the article and everything, all these upgrades that they're promoting and promoting and promoting. Like, we understand that almost all of these upgrades pertain to the companies that buy these suites so that they can give them to employees or employees' friends or whatever it is. Like, when I was a season ticket after COVID ended and they, you know, wanted to renew me, and I still get emails every year about like coming back to renew season tickets. And my seats had been moved back, and I felt like the upgrades and the benefits of it just frankly didn't pertain to me and weren't worth it. And they kept promoting like all this stuff. Even this year, I went to the open house for Capital One Arena for the Wizards particularly. And you know, I went there with my wife, and we go in, and nobody came and greeted us and anything. We're just like kind of wandering around on our own. Eventually someone comes up to us and is like, "Oh, like, have you guys taken a tour yet or anything?" And we're like, "No." So he takes us back into the I think it was the Globe Club or something like that. And
The United Globe.
he's like walking us around in there, and there's like chandeliers everywhere, and it's beautiful. And I like looked at him and I was like, "But what does this have to do with like me renewing season tickets, whether it's like closer to the quarter, whether it's up in the 400s, because I wouldn't have access to this, right?" And he's like, "Well, for select games, like we let like you like people come into it and everything." And I was like, "That's not, I don't want to. Same as you, I don't want to waste my time at the game being down in this area, like having a chandelier dinner. It's just not what I'm there for. So I'd rather just keep buying off the resale markets the games that I do want to come to, but it's just impossible now because they've made so many of these. The quantity of them is the thing that really makes me confused, is they keep expanding the amount of premium areas and restaurants and everything when they keep reducing the supply of them for the average fan."
It's interesting because you mentioned the resale market, and actually, two people in the group chat that I'm in, they actually said that they may not even renew their season tickets this season or for this upcoming season, and they just might buy all their tickets on resale the day of the game because day of game they've been able to get some of those VIP seats, like not like the ones that we see empty, but the ones kind of behind it that can be resold. They're finding them cheaper. And able to still go to the game. So it's like, so there is a big debate being had right now about, what is the best route, for a lot of people who are current season ticket holders and stuff like that. And then, we have to talk about this. Your first PS goes, "I'm never going to get over the ridiculous amount of BS marketing jargon in the Halo promotional video. We're introducing brand new vertical transportation to get people up to the second level." I'm sorry, you mean escalators? Give us a break. I
It's
love that.
so.
Can you have all the escalators actually working in the arena most of the time too? I mean, they work most of the time, but like when we really need them. PPS, a personal grievance. This is the one that got my group chat howling, for the record. A personal grievance. If you're not going to make it affordable to sit close to the court, can you at least give us back normal size souvenir sodas and not give us a time limit? I'm putting this up. This was one of the five Capitals Cups last season because it was the 50th anniversary. This is a nice size cup. And I know there were five different variations of this cup last season. This is what it is this season. And we haven't had Tom Wilson's the only player to be on a cup this season. We actually thought at the beginning of the season that he was going to be the beginning of the season, that maybe later in the season it would be like Logan Thompson, and later in the season would be Alex Ovechkin, like they've done in the past. No, it's just been Tom Wilson. But then, even then, for a large hunk of the season, this cup had nobody on it. It was just red and blue. Nobody on it. But look at that size differential. This is better for a glass of milk. I will admit that for home use. But this is ridiculous. And the fact that I was telling you this before we started because you were at the Wizards game most recently, and I haven't been to a Caps game since, you know, because they've been on the Olympic break. I go back to a game on Wednesday when they host the Philadelphia Flyers. But last season, hot dog prices went up twice. I believe it was 6.50 at the start of the season last season. When they came back from Four Nations, it went up to, I believe, like 6.75. So it had a quarter increase. And then when they went into the playoffs, it went up to, I believe, 7.25. This season, they started off at $8 for a hot dog. That shouldn't be more than maybe, say, $4. This last season, if I remember correctly, was 10.25 at the start of the season. And then after the Four Nations break, went up to, I believe, 10.50. Okay, only went up a quarter. That's not too bad, but still. I don't think it went up again in the playoffs. I think it stayed at the 10.50 price, or it might have gone up to $11. Actually, I think it did go up to $11 for the playoffs. This is 13.75, and it's smaller than this cup right here.
Significantly so.
13.75. And that's something I'm legitimately concerned with on Wednesday. What are the prices of hot dogs and sodas going to be when I walk into that arena on Wednesday night?
Which is so crazy because we talked about all the teams making them like $2, $3. And I just, I was gonna say here.
You're being careful a little bit. It's like
No, I just like with the prices on all this stuff, it's just so baffling to me. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know Monumental's finance sheets. I don't know if they're doing well or not, or what these upgrades and constructions truly cost, and how much money. And I know, like we talked about, the Wizards are obviously, we've been terrible for years, and hopefully next year will be different. And the Capitals are struggling right now to maintain the pace. Definitely, obviously, not what they were last year. So I get that maybe it's down because of the talent as well. But because of all these upgrades, and because they're losing fans and losing seats and not filling the seats and everything, it's like you start to notice that pennies are being pinched in all these different areas. Oh, soda went up. Soda went up. Hot dogs went up. Hot dogs went up. The size of the soda cup went down. Like they're just making all these little extra dollars and pennies, like just keep charging it to the average fan, keep charging it to the average fan. And I did want to touch on this during the time we had to talk, because about 3 or 4 days after my article, I think it was, or maybe it was the next day, four Monumental sports reporters were laid off, at least four. I don't know how many other people were laid off there.
Well, I heard that there were massive layoffs at Monumental because, interestingly, as you say that, you know, I already said it. I'm unemployed. I've been unemployed for a year now, thanks to, you know, anyone who knows my situation because I've been very public about it. I got dozed. But I've applied multiple times to Monumental Sports for office manager roles and I think recently a receptionist role. And I actually got an email a couple days after, actually, it was on Friday. I got an email from Monumental saying, "Hey, thank you, but we went a different direction," or whatever, like that. I think it's because of all those massive layoffs, because whoever that office manager is probably had to assume all that those receptionist duties for that job that I applied for. So it's like it hit probably a lot of different areas, you know, within Monumental when they did those layoffs. So when they're talking about the Halo, and they're always pushing the Lexus suites and the United Globe suites and all these other things that they're trying to put in. Like you said, the quantity of what they're trying to put in, it comes off very tone deaf when you're also laying off a lot of them people too.
And increasing your prices of the most basic food items and your higher like l level ticket prices and everything else. And that's why I'm saying I'm not going to sit here and tell you any stats or finances, because I don't know them for Monumental, but it it gives the appearance that they're just hemorrhaging money and trying to recuperate it with layoffs and with ticket and food increases. And it's like, it feels like parts of their business strategy are failing in front of their eyes, and somehow they're not seeing it. And that's why the original PS in my article was so freaking annoying, because the whole video they're like talking about all these, they're the president of this and the senior vice president of that are coming onto the video in their
Oh yeah,
suits talking about.
Jim Van Stone, which is one of the guys, was one of them. Obviously, Zach Leones, this is another. Actually, and I want to ask this real quick. How much of this is really Zach Leones' and not Ted?
I had this discussion with people actually, and we think a lot, and we think a big part of this is that Zach, he was born into a very wealthy family, and this is his experience, and I'm sure growing up his experience was going to games with this kind of luxury experience. And that's what it feels so out of touch in the way that it's like you don't know the experience of a normal family or normal family. I think a lot of it tends to be Zach. We kind of saw a similar trend with Mark Lerner when Ted Lerner passed with the Nationals. So I again, I'm not going to try to know their finances or know
Oh
who's
yeah.
to blame exactly for what, but
It
it just gives
but
such
there's
a
just certain
bad.
things that scream it though. And that's why a lot of people bring it up. But then there's a question that was thrown in because I actually told the people in my group chat that I was going to have you on the podcast. And the number one question that they actually did ask outside of the experience, which we always talk about, like, well, how is this going to improve my experience as a regular fan? And well, the answer to that is it doesn't. Who do we reach out to? Because we get these surveys, you know this as a former season ticket holder, we get these surveys from Monumental saying, hey, how's your experience? Blah, blah, blah. Well, it's evident that they're not truly reading what we're writing in those surveys. So how do we really make it known outside of bombarding Ted Leonsis and maybe even I don't look at Zach's tweets, but I see Ted's a bit more, bombarding Ted on his Twitter, going like, hey, this isn't a great idea. And I've seen Ted's same post on LinkedIn, but on LinkedIn, it's all praise. It's all praise about how great this is and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, LinkedIn's meant to be professional. Don't be that guy, Mike. So it's like, it's hard, when you see it from those two different perspectives, because obviously Leones is probably on LinkedIn a bit more because of the professional side of things for that platform.
Yeah, I'm not gonna act like I have an answer to it other than my personal, because I'll never stop going to games, right? I love the Wizards. I love going to Caps games. Caps games are so much freaking fun. But my personal, thing was I stopped renewing, and I was like, look, I loved my seats. I would have paid an increase for them, or whatever it was, depending on it, as long as it was reasonable. And as they, got pushed back, and as more and more people started getting pushed out of that lower level, and the lower level became less fun and more about having a dining experience or whatever it was, I
Or a
was like, this
business
isn't worth it.
meeting.
Yeah, it was like, this isn't worth it to me. So, my personal response was kind of, I'm not gonna renew, and I'm gonna, buy these on resale or whatever it was. And I unfortunately imagine that the only way that they would ever really get the message is not like fans just continuing not to buy season tickets or voice their opinion with them. Unfortunately, like you said, it's not like we have a way to like be in contact with Ted and Zach or whoever it is. I think there was I'm looking for it a little bit now. Like, I think there was a tweet that Ted sent responded to from the Sleeper Wizards account that I run, because it has like a verified business check mark, and that usually means it gets seen a little better. And I responded with a picture of the Clippers fan wall. It has like 5,000 views and 100 likes, and it was like, Ted, it was reasonable. I wasn't trying to overly come at him, hoping maybe he'd see it. It's like, please consider giving fans more affordable seating down by the court, getting away with the VIP lofts. It would improve the arena atmosphere and help the team. Everybody was liking it and commenting on it and resharing it as well. And it's like, that doesn't get back to him. If he sees it, he ignores it, that kind of thing. Like, I don't think he sees it necessarily. I don't know what it's going to look like continuing to move forward, but the unfortunate part of it is, like, we're going to see if in the playoffs for the Capitals, if they make it, and we're going to see next year for the Wizards, if they get better with all these stars that they're acquiring and the young players that they've got, if these seats get filled and if it's going to do anything. But the reality is most people expect that they won't. And I actually wanted to add this in as well, because when we're talking about all the season ticket stuff, one of the big, like, Wizards reporters for Bullets Forever, Greg Finberg, he just did his annual update article on the season ticket holder renewal. And they found that prices increased like over 50%. And they're basing it all around, oh, we're going to be so good. We're going to be so good with all these young players and everything. And while they increased the prices of these tickets, they started pulling back again, like just trying to find ways to, like, scale back extra money, extra money. They started pulling back again on what you get for, like, loyalty for having season tickets. So this one guy that he talked to, yeah, he found an average price increase of 56%. And this one guy that he talked to, he said, for my 15-year renewal, I was supposed to get a Lexus suite, like, for a full game. And they changed it to an Uber ride and dinner. Like, they switched a full game suite, like, full food, all that kind of experience. They switched it to round trip Uber and dinner at the game. And it's like, they're
For the
just.
record, for those of you who are not watching the YouTube version or listening to the audio, my brain is malfunctioning to the point where I'm having to rub my eyes because that's so dumbfounding.
15 years of thousands and thousands of dollars
And
of
loyalty.
season ticket renewals and loyalty. And that's the other problem. I actually was going to write on this, and I figured it was, like, getting a little long in my article, but the fact that they don't have, like, loyalty, like, for me, for example, even as, you know, someone who doesn't buy season tickets, I've been to over 10 Wizards games this year, which, if you're familiar with the Wizards this year, is astounding. For a team that's trying to lose on purpose right now. And there's no, like, again, my undergrad many years ago was in marketing. Like, I have plenty of knowledge to talk about, like, well, let's do some promotion around that. You know, if you come to a certain amount of games, like, maybe there's a discount for a lower level ticket for you, or these unused seats that aren't being used. And this is the problem with the Wizards stuff, is that they're blocked off, so no one can even have those upgrades, which is actually something that, back when I had season tickets, if there were unused seats before the game, you could pay to upgrade them pre-game. And there were plenty of games where I ended up sitting in, like, row C.
Yeah, I think you could still do that. It's just that, again, it's just those blocked off areas. Like, obviously, for the Caps behind the penalty boxes, you can't do it for that. But if it's like behind, I think it's behind the players' benches. If there's empty seats, I think you could pay to upgrade or something like that. But,
A whole arena behind both baskets and the vault is closed off. And it's just like, that's so illogical for a place where you want energy and you want this, like, excitement. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, unfortunately, like, I don't really see a ton of ways in other than them finally listening to all of the fan outrages and maybe getting someone else on staff that maybe is a bit younger in age or has a bit more understanding of, like,
Maybe somebody like me who is not raised with a silver spoon in his mouth
No, I mean, it's.
and has to struggle to get by and go, you know, maybe if you do these things instead, maybe more people will want to come to your games and won't complain as much. But yeah, this is me pitching to try to get a job. I'm so sorry. But yeah, no, it's just It's a head scratcher. There's only so much we can do. And like I said, on the capital side of things, because you're more in tune with the wizard side of things, on the capital side, I think Ovechkin's going to be the major indicator on a lot of things. We already knew, and a lot of us have already kind of accepted the fact that when Ovechkin retires, that arena is going to get empty. But if Ovechkin retires and prices keep going up on us without that superstar franchise player, because let's be honest, as much as we love Tom Wilson, Logan Thompson, Ryan Leonard, who's a rookie still, these guys are never going to be at the level of Alex Ovechkin. They're not. And it may not be for, who knows, maybe another 5, 10 years before we have that next guy who is Ovechkin caliber and star power, to be with the franchise. That's just how it works sometimes, especially when you keep expanding and the talent pool gets a little less. So Ovechkin's going to be the indicator for the Caps on the far part of, or as I call it, the bandwagoners are going to go away in that sense, essence. But then if prices keep going up, how many of the true hockey Caps fans are going to stick around if the prices keep going up and Ovechkin's gone? I think that will be the biggest indicator for the on the Capitals side, at least. The Wizards, you want to see how they do with this rebuild and where they can go in the next year or two, because will they be good? We don't know, but hopefully they are, because I'll be honest, like I said, I don't follow basketball, but I do know that the Wizards are way overdue. So
But I will say really quickly that it's what we went through, right? Like we had John Wall, and then he got injured, and then we ended up trading him, and we didn't have a guy like that. And you saw the bandwagoners were gone, and then the loyalists, like even in myself, considering myself a loyalist, aren't renewing slash because of it's and it's not because of the like team quality, it's because of the ticket in price. Ticket increases and just like the benefits not being worth it. And then it's like we still go, but we go on our own terms and we go and sit in the 400s maybe if we can afford that better or whatever it is. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I worry for that for the Caps because especially in DC where you have a lot of people from other areas, you might not be able to hang on to so many of your fans without that like superstar presence or reason to be there or something. So I mean yeah, we'll see what it does for them, but it feels like in the next couple years as the Halo comes out and then I wait and see what the next one is when they're doing the renovations and it's like oh, here's 10 more restaurants. Like are we even gonna have an arena anymore or is it just gonna be a dining hall?
And here's the thing. There are a couple that, I mean, I think we can agree. There are a few. I mean, I know we've been very pessimistic about a lot of things on this podcast episode, but we can agree on one thing. The concourse. This is need to get wider, and that's going to finally happen. Because like when Abe Pullin, who paid for then MCI Center out of his own pocket to have this arena built for the Caps and Wizards, he did it with all the right intentions. And obviously, as the last like almost 30 years have been, obviously we've kind of outgrown Capital One Arena, so it needs to get a little wider. So I do agree with the motion of, hey, we need wider concourses so we can get through a lot better, especially around the corners. I think you can agree with that sentiment. So it's like there are some good things coming. But
Course.
the problem is that we're seeing more of the bad promoted than the actual good promoted at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think it's that, and I think that there's just such a again, it's not a necessarily even a bad thing that like the arena is like getting nicer. It's just that it's not necessarily attainable for most
Long
fans,
term.
and it's like where. Like, where do we see? Like, I want to see wider concourses, or I want to see more seating available down low. I don't care if people have the Halo or whatever, if I can still find a place to sit without paying $200 to sit down there. But because they don't add those things in, or we'll wait and see what happens with those. But I just don't understand why you wouldn't also balance those kind of good things with hey, check out our new vertical transportation or whatever the f it is.
and it's actually interesting. I do have two friends who have season tickets for the Caps in the 200 level. I haven't talked to them yet to see what they've heard about what could happen with their season tickets in the 200 level.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that will be a very interesting conversation when I reach out to them about it.
Yeah.
So, but with that, Lee, we have talked, I think, a little overtime on our time, but no, hey, that's a good thing because we had to go through a lot, and I'm just looking at the picture now, which is what would be the penalty box area for the Caps, but it's the Wizards game. And just it's one, it's like what, one, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, I was right, seven rows. It's seven rows of just nothing. Oh, and fun fact, Elliot in the morning, the radio host on DC 101, his seat used to be right next to the Capitals penalty box, and he got pushed out for the vault.
Whether it's the reporters like being laid off or whether it's the true fans like being pushed back or whatever it is, it just feels like it's more and more of that. And I mean, that's really sad to hear because more people like that at the games is who we want. And I will quickly add, since you were looking at that photo, Saturday night, Duke and Michigan's college basketball teams played each other in Capital One Arena. And they removed what they had, where they have the lofts for the Wizards games, and they like sold all those seats down there, and it looked amazing. And it's the first time in a long time that I've seen all those seats full in Capital One Arena. And I don't understand. I think Ted tweeted it and was like, "Oh, like great to see this packed house or whatever it is." I don't understand how you don't see that and be like, "Wow, how great would it be if we filled this arena all the time." I think he's doing other certain good things, but like I just don't understand his mindset on that.
Oh
So
yeah, I see what you're talking about. I just pulled up the picture that that Ted put out. And also the same could be said when we had the PWHL Takeover Tour game back in January, because the Vault Suite area, there were no specialties. Capital One cardholder entrance came in same time as everybody else. There was no specialties for that game or anything like that. Everyone came at the same time. And like the arena was packed. Like we actually set the North American women's hockey
I know
attendance
so.
record. And it was great. And it like that's how it should be for Caps and Wizards too, at the end of the day. So, but with that, Lee, my good friend, this has been a blast. So with that said, where can everyone find you on social media and where they can find your work?
I mean, honestly, it's really just on Twitter. So like I said, I cover the Wizards for Sleeper, the fantasy app. So that tag is Sleeper Wizards. And then the article that I've published, which is pinned to my profile, is on it's at L Newman DC. Again, it's on Twitter. Haven't ever like started up a website or anything like that. I've done some other like freelance like sports marketing for NBA and whatnot, but no, you can give me a follow there. But great talking with you. I appreciate you having me on. Like I said, I appreciate everyone who read and agreed and shared with it because it was very validating to see so many fans be like, "This is so logical. Why can't we, like, this is what we want. Why can't we have an arena that we like love and would die for and can experience in its fullest." So just love that all the fans seem to be pretty united in that, and hopefully we get some championship teams back in there soon too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And so with that, obviously you can follow TXHT on at TXHT underscore hockey on all social media platforms and TXHTHockey.com. And yeah, that's about it. So again, later this week, I'm going to have Ted Starkey on from HockeyHotStove.com. We're going to dig into the Washington Capitals' return from the Olympic break. And obviously, the upcoming trade deadline, as it is literally coming on March 6th. So, we got 2 weeks, four games before the deadline. A lot to talk about between Starkey and I. And hey, it's snowing outside, so we might be doing the episode tomorrow. So, who knows? Or Monday at the time you're hearing this. So with that, he's Lee Newman. Thank you so much again for coming on. I'm Michael, and until next time, we will see you on the ice.